Good morning, and welcome to Mintsor's fourth quarter 2018 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you'd like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Raphael Bois of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mintsor's fourth quarter 2018 earnings call. Today from Mintsor, we are pleased to have the senior management team who will discuss the company's fourth quarter 2018 consolidated results after the press release distributed on Friday, March 1st. If you have not yet received a copy, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you one. Please note that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, a question from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly after the call. Also, please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, the forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the last page of the earnings release. Joining us from Lima, Peru, we have Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Diego Molina, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you for your attention. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us today to review our fourth quarter 2018 results and for your continued interest in Mintsor. Before jumping into the results, let me take you through some of our major achievements and highlights from last year, beginning with safety. During 2018, we reported no fatalities and a total of 9 lost time injuries. This translates into 0.47 lost time frequency rate index of 0.47, which is a statement or a testament to our commitment to safety and sustainability, achieving a world-class safety performance for the year. Notwithstanding, in the last 3 months of 2018, San Rafael and Pucamarca registered 2 LTIs and 1 LTI respectively. All our other operations were accident-free during the quarter. Safety remains our key priority, and we keep reinforcing our safety management systems and culture throughout all our operations to ensure that we keep up to the world-class safety standards. As a result of this continuous effort, in November 2018, our San Rafael mine was recognized with the John T. Ryan Award in Safety Excellence. Another very important highlight of 2018 is the turnaround of our Brazilian business. During the year, the operational and financial performance of Taboca improved significantly. We delivered greater results than originally expected, achieving a record EBITDA of $55 million, which is $46 million higher than 2017. This achievement is a consequence of the operational improvement led by our management team, helped by a stronger price environment and by the devaluation of the Brazilian real. Operational improvement efforts have particularly translated into increased production and sales of our niobium and tantalum ferroalloys, as well as record tin production at Pitinga. Another important achievement for 2018 was our capacity to replenish and increase our tin resources with very important new geological findings during the year. Total new tin resources discovered during the year, during 2018 reached 1.9 million tons of ore with an average grade of 2.47% tin, which contained 47,100 tons of contained tin. This is almost equivalent to 2 years of production at Santa Fe. A very significant contributor to this increase in resources was our new discovery of the San Germán vein that contributed with 20,000 tons of contained tin in only this first phase of the exploration program. On these lines, during the last quarter, At San Rafael, we discovered 800,000 tons of ore with 26,500 tons of tin metal content. At San Germán, drilling during the quarter continued and high concentration of tin was found, with grades up to 3.83% tin. Our expectation is to complete the modeling of the inferred resources discovered in this new ore body during 2019, allowing us to extend San Rafael's life of mine even further. Also, I'm glad to report that at Nazaret, our other tin discovery, the new resource estimation was completed by the end of 2018, resulting in a resource of 8.9 million tons of ore with 1.38% tin grade, which contained 122,000 tons of tin metal. This accounts for around an 8-year life extension of our San Rafael mine. Following the geological estimation, we have started the technical studies to determine the best way to access and mine this ore body in the future. I would like to move on now to the fourth quarter results. And it is worth mentioning that during the last 3 months of 2018, metal prices decreased versus the same period of the previous year. Price volatility was also much higher during the quarter, with tin prices fluctuating between $18,400 and $19,600 per ton. Gold prices were also volatile, ranging from a low of $1,190 per ounce to a high of $1,280 per ounce due to the international context and the strengthening of the dollar. Given the high volatility in the market, the company has strengthened its focus on cost control and operational efficiencies to remain resilient to these volatile market conditions and to mitigate any potential price reduction impacts as much as possible. In the fourth quarter of 2018, we reported mixed operating results. Tin and gold production were higher than Q4 2017 by 3% and 19% respectively. Tin production was therefore 3% higher than the previous quarter, than the same quarter in the previous year, and gold production was 19% higher than the same quarter on the previous year. While production of ferroalloys decreased 16% to 1,040 tons compared to the same period of the previous year. Nevertheless, it is important to highlight that the production of ferroalloys increased during 2018 by 22%, reaching an all-time record of almost 4,000 tons for the year at Taboca, compared to 3,252 tons in 2017. This has been the main driver of value and profitability for Taboca in 2018. The details on production and cash costs per operation are provided in the earnings release. However, let me mention a few important highlights. At San Rafael, tin production exceeded the upper end of the annual production guidance of 18,500 tons of refined tin for 2018, with actual production closing over 18,600 tons for the year. This achievement is mainly explained by the stronger performance of the ore sorting plant and by the higher ore grade fed into the concentration plant. Cash cost at San Rafael closed 43% below Q4 2017, registering a record low of $56 per ton treated, mainly due to the higher volume treated coming from the ore sorting pre-concentration plant. Let me move now to the B2 project in San Rafael. I'm happy to report that the project construction is performing better than planned. The project execution reached a total progress of 64% versus 53% of the plan as of December 31st, 2018. The main milestones reached in the construction during the year were the completion of the staff hotel building, the project offices, and the operator's camp in Kumani, the installation of the roofing in the gravimetric building, and the assembly of the electric rooms and the ISA mill. The main transformer of the electrical substation was installed, and the earth-moving works for the tailings and water recovery transporting system were also started. By the end of February, the total progress of the B2 project was 75%, ahead of the plan, which called for 68% of progress at that time. 94% of the required acquisitions have been purchased, and all of the main equipment and contracts have been awarded. The concentration plant construction progress is 66%, the tailings transportation system progress is 15%, and the connection to the main electrical substation was successfully completed by the end of February. Total capital expenditure remains within the budget at $170 million. This is in line with the definitive estimate. The project has not registered any lost time accidents to date, with a remarkable safety performance. As you can see, our B2 project is right on schedule and on track to meet and deliver on the project goals, starting production by the end of this year. Moving now on to Taboka, in 2018, refined tin production reached 6,488 tons. That's 1% lower than 2018, but in line with the annual production guidance of between 6,000 and 17,000 tons of fine tin. Although refined tin production closed slightly below 2017, it is worth highlighting that the Pitinga mine achieved a record production of tin concentrate for the year. Also, and as mentioned before, in 2018, the production of ferroalloys closed at 3,982 tons, which is an increase of 22% compared to 2017. This represents a record high production for Taboka. And again, as I mentioned, the main driver for the turnaround of this operation. In 2018, cash cost closed at $20.2 per ton treated at Taboka. That's 7% higher than the cost in 2017, mainly explained by the increase in power generation costs due to the lack of rain in Pitinga during the first quarter of 2018. This prevented us from generating all the plant energy from our hydroelectric plant, forcing us to use more expensive diesel generations during the first quarter of last year. However, we kept working on cost savings initiatives and projects, and it's good to report that cash costs for the fourth quarter of 2018 closed at $18.6 per ton treated, which is a decrease of 3% compared to Q4 2017. Even though the volume treated during the quarter was 6% lower, and the production costs in Brazilian reais were 7% higher, the depreciation of 15% of the Brazilian reais against the dollar allowed us to offset these negative impacts. As a result of the significant operational improvements at Taboka, the company generated a record annual EBITDA of $55 million during 2018, as I reported before, but more importantly, Taboka generated a free cash flow of $20 million for the year. Switching now to Pucamarca, during 2018, production closed at 103,299 ounces of gold. That is 3% above the previous year, mainly due to higher volume fed to the pad. The cash cost for 2018 closed at $4.4 per ton treated. That's 3% above the same period in 2017, mainly explained by slightly higher operating costs. However, it is worth mentioning that our cash cost per ounce closed at $352 an ounce, and our all-in cash cost, which includes CapEx, closed at $725 per ounce, consolidating Pucamarca as one of the lowest cost gold mines in the world. These results also show that Pucamarca delivered within the annual guidance for the year. I would like now to comment on a few milestones and highlights for 2018 on our most important growth project, which is Mina Justa. On August 22nd, Mina Justa fired its first blast, and in September, the full funding and construction decision to execute the project was approved. The project is currently under construction with a total progress by the end of December 2018 of 14.4% versus 14.2% planned. Thus, we are ahead of schedule. All of the equipment required at this stage has arrived on site and the pre-stripping work has begun, with over 2.5 million tons already moved. At the end of 2018, more than 2,700 employees and contractors were already at site. In terms of safety, Mina Justa didn't report any fatality and reported only two lost time accidents during 2018. World-class safety management systems and a very strong safety culture is in place at the project. As of February 28, the total progress of the project reached 20.7% compared to 20.4% planned, and the headcount of the project increased to 3,850 people. The project is on track and on budget. All of the material contracts have been awarded, and all the long lead time items and equipment have been ordered. Both the oxides and sulfides plants construction contractors have been mobilized and started working. Commitments today are above $1 billion for the project. We remain quite confident that the trends on the project will keep on this direction and that we will deliver this project within budget and schedule. In terms of the outlook now for 2019, although we have provided full details of our 2019 guidance in the earnings release, I would like to provide a breakdown of the CapEx by operating unit and growth projects. At San Rafael, we expect our sustaining CapEx to be around $25 to $30 million for the year, while at Cucamarca, CapEx for the year should only be around $5 to $8 million, and at Pitinga, we expect it to be around $35 to $40 million. Growth capital should be close to $1 billion in 2019. The B2 project CapEx should be between $90 and $100 million, and the CapEx for Mina Justa should be around $800 to $900 million for the year. This is our $1 billion year in terms of capital and growth projects for Minsur. On a separate note, and this is my last comment, given the events at the Brumadinho Dam in Brazil, we would like to comment a few words on our geotechnical management. Minsur's strategy and management systems on geotechnical work includes an engineer of record, a permanent surveillance committee, and an independent geotechnical review board that continuously perform review on all of the conditions of our dams and all the main structures. Instrumental data analytics and alerts are in place. Based on those results, corrective actions are taken if needed. And in addition, an internal team led by our chief operating officer and an independent specialty company and consulting firm participate in this committee. We have a world-class management system in place with top-world independent geotechnical people on our review board. This gives us the level of comfort that we require. According to the results of the last review made in January, no critical risks were identified in any of our operations. Nonetheless, permanent monitoring is in place and in line with our proactive approach on this matter. There have been recommendations of our board in the last review, and we are working very hard on permanent monitoring and further test work on both our structures in Taboca and at B2. With that, I conclude my presentation, and now let me turn the call over to Diego Molina, our Chief Financial Officer, for his discussion of the financial results of the quarter.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. Due to the market uncertainty during last semester of 2018, caused by the trade war between the United States and China, Brexit, and the partial closure of the United States government, steel markets softened a bit and prices weakened. In this context, net revenues for the fourth quarter reached $179 million, an increase of 6% compared to the same period of the previous year. This increase was mainly explained by 12% higher sales of tin and 25% higher sales of gold, partially offset by 35% lower ferroalloys revenue during the quarter. For the full year of 2018, net revenue was 3% higher than in 2017, explained by higher sales volume in gold and ferroalloys, partially offset by the slightly lower sales volume of tin. Gross profit during the fourth quarter was $64 million, an increase of 8% compared to the same period 2017. Nevertheless, gross margin increased from 35% to 36% in the fourth quarter 2018. Likewise, in 2018, gross profit was higher by 9% compared to 2017, explained by higher sales. During the fourth quarter, exploration and project expenses totaled $9.6 million, a decrease of $2.6 million compared to the same period of 2017. In 2018, for the whole year, this line item reached $37.2 million, which demonstrates our commitment to our exploration programs. As a result, EBITDA of the fourth quarter reached $58 million, a decrease of 7% compared to the same period last year, mainly explained by a provision of $8 million related to a tax credit at Sistani. In 2018, we reached an EBITDA of $267 million, 2% lower compared to 2017. Taxes in the fourth quarter were $17 million, which is 8% higher when compared to same quarter previous year, mainly due to better results explained by the higher sales. Taxes for the full 2018 were $64 million, 3% higher than the previous year. It is important to highlight that in 2018 we received a tax refund from an overpayment in 2002 that partially offset this line item. In terms of net income, Minsur registered $14 million in fourth quarter 2018, as opposed to the $5 million net loss in the previous fourth quarter of last year. This was mainly due to the net loss of $27 million that we registered in 2017 from the Taboga impairment and Markover revaluation. Adjusted net income was $15 million in the fourth quarter, an increase of 36% or $4 million versus the fourth quarter 2017. This adjusted net income excludes results from subsidiaries and associates, exchange rate variation, as well as the non-recurring income related to the tax refund from 2002, the non-recurring gain related to the sale of Remax shares in 2017, and the net effect of the Taboga impairment and Markover revaluation we just mentioned. In terms of capital expenditures, the company invested $191 million during the quarter only. This capex was mainly allocated towards the execution phase of Mina Justa, B2, and increasing capacity of the B3 tailing dam at San Rafael. In Pucamarca, key sustaining capex investments are still being implemented, mainly related to the expansion of the leaching pad. Regarding liquidity, Minsur concluded the fourth quarter with $662 million of cash, a 24% increase compared to December 2017, which was $533 million. This was mainly due to operating cash flows of $232 million, which includes the income tax refund from the overpayment made in 2002. Investment cash flows of $208 million, including the outflow for capital investment, that totaled $390 million. And the inflow from the sale of 40% stake in Mina Justa of $182 million. The financial cash flow of last year was $105 million, including funds for our corporate greenfield of $72 million coming from the project finance and $51 million coming from our partner, AXAR, as well as $18 million paid for Taboca's debt amortization. In terms of debt, total financial debt as of December 31st reached $640 million, 9% higher than the total debt reported at the end of 2017. Net leverage ratio reached a negative 0.1 as of December 2018 versus 0.2 at the end of 2017. In summary, Minsur continues to be committed to further enhancing operational and financial performance to maintain strong operating margins and to position the company to take maximum advantage of the current commodity price cycle and our growth plans. Thank you so much for your attention, and with that I conclude my presentation and we're ready for your questions. Operator, please, if you can proceed with the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We'll pause for just a moment to allow questions to queue. We'll take our first question from Omar Avellaneda with Prima AF. Pete, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the conference call. I have some questions. Something are about San Rafael. I was hoping you can talk about the life of the O13 project. I was expecting you can give us some guidance about how much time do you expect to use this technology in San Rafael.
Sorry, but your question was not too clear. Are you asking about the life of mine at San Rafael, or just can you clarify, please?
No, I am asking about the life of the project of the earth sorting plant. I was hoping you can give us some guidance about how much time are you going to spend. Do you expect to use this technology in San Rafael?
Okay, thank you for the question. It's clear now. The ore sorting will be working all this year, 2019. As you know, or as we have reported before, most of the ore coming from the low-grade stockpiles that justified our investment in the ore sorting have been depleted, but we are now feeding some lower-grade material that we have on-site still on some stockpiles, plus material coming from our waste dumps. So basically what we're doing is really squeezing every single dollar that we can from all the material that we have, both at our low-grade stockpiles and our waste dumps in the mine. We keep analyzing further opportunities to extend the life of the feed into the ore sorter as of next year, which is going to be part of the work that we're doing this year in order to find alternative sources of material for the plant. It is important to bear in mind that the ore sorting investment, the investment on the ore sorting pre-concentration plant, which was around $22 million, paid back in 4.5 months. In other words, and it's been operating for more than 2 years now. So basically what I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter if we shut it down tomorrow, because it has really been probably the best capital investment we've ever done at San Rafael.
Okay. I have some questions also on the business unit in Brazil. I know this unit has improved a lot in 2017 and in 2018, but what are the next steps in that business unit? Can you comment on that?
Yes. Last year, we worked on a project which is called the Full Potential Project, both for Taboca and San Rafael, with the help of some external consultants. And as a result of that work, we have identified significant value creation opportunities at Taboca and we have divided the work and the program in three stages. The first stage is what we call the quick wins, which are operational improvement projects that allow us to obtain better results, both in terms of production costs and productivity, without any significant capital investment. It's just by streamlining the way we manage the operations. And that is what has allowed us to basically have the results that we just explained in 2018. In other words, during 2018, we captured a significant part of this opportunity. Then what we call the phase two is basically improvements that require a certain level of capital investment, and therefore they require engineering work, and they require some construction work to be done in order to further improve our current processes. That's what we call phase two, and we are working this year, 2019, on the engineering for this new equipment or plant upgrades that we will have to do, both our concentrating plant and also our flotation plant. The full impact of these initiatives should be captured in 2020-2021, because 2019, what we do is we will perform the engineering work and the design. 2020, we will start some pilot test work, and late 2020 and 21, we should be in construction. So by the end of 2021, we should be able to capture the impact of these initiatives. And then the last phase, which is phase three in Taboca, is the breakthrough phase, because it's moving into a new technology. Well, we're working right now on R&D, basically to develop new processes to further improve our recoveries of both tin, but mainly niobium and tantalum at the mine. And what this involves is going away from the conventional flotation and pyrometallurgical processes that we have today at Pitinga to a hydrometallurgical process, mainly through using the reaction of chemicals, mainly sulfuric acid. If we are able to prove that the hydrometallurgical route is efficient, then we expect to reach a very transformational status or impact on this asset, which will really allow us to take it to its full potential. However, this is a longer path. It has a higher certainty or probability of happening, because we still have to finish the research and development work that we're doing, go through the whole pilot test work, and then design and put it into production. So it's much longer term. No, what we see here is that by the end of 2021, we should capture in total around $41 million of incremental value on phase one. Just to note that 26 out of the 41 have already been captured in 2018. So the incremental value that we expect to generate by 2021 is around $15 million. And, the other phase two and phase three projects we expect to be really transformational and allow us to multiply by several times our EBITDA in this asset.
Okay, great. And I have one other question about the Pitinga, mainly about the market overview on the ferroalloys product. Can you comment on that? What's the outlook on the on this product?
Sorry, we can't understand you well. What is the what do you say? What's the value? What's on this product?
No, I was hoping you can comment about the market outlook of the ferroalloys products.
Oh, okay, well, the ferrotantalum and ferroniobium. Yeah, sure. It's, in 2018, we were able to get basically a 20 to 25% increase in prices for our niobium and tantalum alloys. Not necessarily because the market prices increased. The market was strong, yes, but this was mainly as a consequence of the implementation of a new commercial strategy and a new segmentation of products and clients. We have been able during 2017 and 18 to fine-tune our processes at the metallurgy plant in Pitinga in a manner that we are able to customize our products to different customers. Also, in 2018, we were able to develop a new product, which is a special grade tantalum, that allowed us basically to sell most of the product that we had in stock from the previous years because we couldn't find a home for that product. So today, everything we produce is sold. And it's not only sold, but it's sold at between 20 to 25% higher prices than in 2017. The outlook for this market remains very, very good. Niobium is a very stable metal. CBMM from Brazil controls around 85% of the market, and they really do a good job of making sure that there's price stability in this market. If you follow niobium, niobium is really completely isolated from the conventional mining cycle that we see in many base and precious metals. So it's been stable for the last 20 years, probably. In the case of tantalum, given that we have been able to customize our products, we believe that we should be able to maintain our current prices coming into the future. It is very important to note that Taboca has become the largest single tantalum producer in the world. Our current market share is around 12 to 15% of the market, but the tantalum market is very, very fragmented from the supply side. So what that implies is that we have become the largest single producer in the world. But more important than being the largest single producer is the fact that we are the only clean and sustainable provider of tantalum in the world today. We are the only ones who have 100% traceability on the tantalum units that we produce, and this is very important given that most of the tantalum produced elsewhere in the world comes from the DRC and has a lot of issues related to responsible sourcing, conflict-free materials, and in a way, clean material. So we believe that our tantalum is unique in that sense, and that gives us a very significant and important competitive advantage, with most of our clients signing with us long-term supply agreements at prices that are in line with what we have been selling.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. Again, that's star and one. We'll pause momentarily to allow further questions to queue. And we do have a follow-up from Omar. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Okay, great. Thank you. I will hold it. I have two more questions. The first one is about the B2 project. I may have heard that the final budget for the project is $170 million. Is that correct?
Yes, the definitive estimate on the initial capital of the project is $170 million.
Okay, great. My last question is about the expenditures on explorations for 2019. Can we assume that it's going to be a similar expenditure as the amount we have seen in 2018?
Our exploration for 2019 versus 2018, you're saying? Hello?
Yes, that's right. Good question.
Okay. No, our exploration expenditure is going to be pretty much in line with the previous years. We are not going to be doing a lot of drilling on new projects this year. We're going to be more focused on improving the quality of our resources, both at Nazaret and we're going to be significantly, and both at Nazaret and significantly investing in San Germán this year. At Santo Domingo, we expect that we will increase a little bit our expenditures compared to 2017, mainly because what we expect at Santo Domingo is to start drilling at a certain point in time this year, depending on the social license. In mine or infill exploration is basically going to be in line with the previous year. So, yeah, that's basically what we're going to be doing. In terms of numbers, just to give you some figures, we will invest around $28 million in exploration in 2019. That's going to be around 74 kilometers of diamond drilling that we will perform. Perhaps it's a good moment to share with you that in the last 5 years, from 2014 to 2018, sorry, the last 4 years, we have invested $106 million in exploration. We have done 340 kilometers of diamond drilling, and we have found 350,000 tons of tin equivalent. So the value of what we have found in tin equivalent resources, contained resources, basically reaches a total of above $7 billion. So for $100 million of investment in the last 4 years, we have found more than $7 billion in tin resources, which is, we believe, quite remarkable. And that encourages us to keep investing in drilling and exploration, regardless of where we are in the price cycle, as we have always mentioned. So it's $28 million for 2019. What we're going to be spending.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Krueger for closing remarks.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your continued interest in our company. We look forward to having this conference again to share the Q1 results at the right moment. And if you have any questions, you can directly access our CFO, Mr. Diego Molina, or myself. Thank you very much.